Hey, y'all, Scott here for Samurai Tech Academy at MasterSamuraiTech.com. Modern appliance repair requires true technicians who can troubleshoot their high-tech electronics. If you're young and looking to make some real money, or you've been at it a while and just need to keep your skills up to date, Samurai Tech Academy teaches it all. And they'll also show you the business, how to own and run your own. Take a free sample course to see how easily you can learn appliance repair from MasterSamuraiTech.com. Use coupon code Scott Horton for 10% off any course or set of courses at MasterSamuraiTech.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. On the line, I've got Jason Leopold. He is the co-author with Kai Henderson of this new piece at Vice News, Tequila, Painted Pearls, and Prada, How the CIA Helped Produce Zero Dark 30. And that was, of course, the mainstream propaganda flick about the killing of Osama bin Laden. That came out, what, I guess a couple of years ago now. Welcome back to the show. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, Scott. Good to be with you.
Very good to have you here. Again, with the Freedom of Information Act, you got the documents. It's all about, it's a great illustration, I think, of the CIA's relationship with the media, the media's relationship with the CIA, how easygoing it all is so much of the time, apparently, that kind of thing. First of all, I guess tell us who's Mark Bull and how did he get this job?
Yes, well, Mark Bull is a former journalist, investigative journalist. He's written for Mother Jones, The Nation, Playboy magazine, and he is also the Oscar award-winning screenwriter and a producer. He is the screenwriter of The Hurt Locker. So that is, what was his big movie. He co-produced that with Kathryn Bigelow, who is the director of that movie and an Oscar Award winner in her own right. And these documents that I received, just to sort of characterize them for your listeners, they are CIA Inspector General reports, two reports. One report is about former agency director Leon Panetta and disclosures that he made, classified information that he revealed in the presence of Mark Bull after bin Laden was killed. The other report is a potential ethics violations involving Hollywood filmmakers. That is a separate report and investigation that the CIA Inspector General did to determine how its officers interacted with the filmmakers, Mark Bull and Kathryn Bigelow, and whether they violated ethics by accepting gifts. And both reports had conclusions in which the Inspector General determined that there were potential violations of federal law, and the matters were both referred to the Justice Department for prosecution. In the case of Leon Panetta, it was the disclosure of classified information, and in the case of the ethics violation, it was potential bribery of government officials and witnesses. The Justice Department declined to prosecute in both cases and referred the matter back to CIA for administrative action.
And which then took place swiftly and severely, right?
Well, no. With the CIA on the ethics side, with the ethics violations, basically what the CIA did is it issued some new ethics guidelines and policies for its officers whenever they deal with Hollywood. And one thing that, stands out in this Inspector General report on the potential ethics violations is that the officers who interacted with Mark Bull and Kathryn Bigelow while they were making this movie about the hunt for bin Laden and the fact that the U.S. killed him was that they had no idea what they were given no guidance on ethics. So, for example, You know, what's really fascinating about these documents is that it does not just show how they interacted with Mark Bolla, Catherine Bigelow, and it does not just show how the CIA had a hand in drafting the script and co-producing this movie. It shows that the filmmakers showered the CIA officers, at least 10 National Clandestine Service officers, with gifts ranging from expensive bottles of tequila to fake pearl earrings, which at the time when Catherine Bigelow gave an officer pearl earrings, it, I'm sure that the officer did not realize that they were fake. You know, expensive dinners, and so it's very rich in detail. Now, let me just add that the role that the CIA had with, you know, with this movie, there were some details that were already known. What I'm revealing that's new here is that I'm revealing that the fact that these reports have never been released, these are previously unreleased reports. And the reports, you know, describe the extent to which the CIA was involved in this film. The investigation into Leon Panetta's disclosures is dated March 2014, so just about a year, a little more than a year ago. And the ethics report is September 2013. So these reports have never been released. They do provide incredible new detail showing how far and how involved the CIA was with the creation of this movie.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing about how on one hand, they're willing to basically, it sounds like, let the CIA write the whole script, more or less. But then I know that there were at least a few who had tried to follow up with the movie makers here who had said, yeah, but, you know, did you check these facts? I mean, what to what extent did you do journalism to verify that the things you put in this movie are true? And they go, oh, it's just a movie. Oh, it's just a movie. But
right.
At the same time, of course, the whole point of the movie is they're trying to tell you this is the way it happened. We know because the CIA told us.
Yeah, it's again, you know, it's what's really interesting about this is that the is that the documents show there's a great time. By the way, let me just add that there's a great timeline in these documents. It's actually in my story as an image, you know, as we sort of posted it prominently. But there's a great timeline in here, and it shows that Mark Bolla read the script over the phone to the CIA's Office of Public Affairs. Now, the Office of Public Affairs is the liaison with the entertainment industry. He read the script over the phone. They objected to several scenes that were in the script in which Mark Bolla wrote that detainees were interrogated with dogs or dogs were present in the interrogation room, that detainees were being punched and kicked, and that CIA officers were partying on a roof of a building and shooting off guns. And the CIA, in these documents, it says CIA officers would never do such a thing. So he took that out. He took that out of his script. So, excuse me, it's a great example of how the, you know, how the agency really, really did play a role in this. And, you know, the question also becomes is, you know, who was helping who, you know? Mm-hmm. Was it the CIA helping them? Or is it, you know, the Bigelow and Bolla helping the CIA? You know, I think it worked both ways. On one hand, the CIA and the Obama administration really wanted to get their, you know, their narrative out there about, you know, bin Laden. And Bigelow and Bolla really, really wanted access. They wanted access to the agency.
All right, y'all. We got to take this break. Hold it right there. We'll be right back with Jason Leopold reporting for Vice.com. Tequila, Painted Pearls, and Prada. How the CIA helped produce Zero Dark 30. Back in a minute. Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. All right, Jason, welcome back. Let's see how you sound.
Sound good on this end. How am I sounding there?
Oh, yeah, way better than your cell phone. Very good. We'll go on like this. Hey, so, yeah, no, yeah. The commercial, it got in our way. But we're discussing how the CIA helped write, basically, the screenplay for Zero Dark Thirty, which is the dramatization of the raid on Osama bin Laden's house. And, of course, I think we actually skipped all this. We're in the very interesting nitty gritty details here, but we sort of missed the real meta narrative here, whatever you call it, the larger narrative here, which is torture. Not that you miss it in the article. I'm just saying so far in the interview, torture led us to bin Laden. Thank goodness for torture. And every time that we had a real debate about torture and it started coming to a head, yet always, and it's happening again right now. You always have these guys come with this full court press saying, hey, torture saved American lives. That's their narrative. Because we tortured this guy, he admitted this thing, and that's what led us to that guy. But now we know that nothing to do with a courier led to Osama bin Laden. It was a Pakistani intelligence official or a general who walked right into CIA headquarters and handed him right over. The whole thing about the courier was a lie, not just that they tortured somebody into admitting that it was, you know, you should follow this courier, and never mind the entire, you know, fiction in the movie about how they follow the white truck down the highway and all their crap they made up.
Right, right. Well, I think that, you know, there's many good points that you made here. And let me just say, as part of this narrative, where, you know, this is a multi-layered narrative. What everyone should know is that Mark Bull and Catherine Bigelow began working with the CIA in 2010. So before bin Laden was killed, they were actually working with the CIA on a movie called Tora Bora. And it was about the fact that, how the CIA let bin Laden slip through its fingers, after 9/11. Mark Bull contacts the CIA in April of 2011, and says he's traveling to Afghanistan and he's contacting the CIA the way as Leon Panetta requested, if he ever intended to go there, and he's making that call. 2 weeks later, the CIA in this joint operation kills bin Laden. So Mark Bull scraps this script and starts working on Zero Dark Thirty. What's important to note about this time frame, Scott, is that this and the way that the CIA, provided Bull and Bigelow with this intelligence information about the operation is that this also took place when the Senate Intelligence Committee was investigating the efficacy of the CIA's program. And the CIA's torture program. And what the Senate Intelligence Committee ultimately found out, is that, the use of torture did not result in any unique, or valuable intelligence. No intelligence that could be deemed actionable. And one thing that they noted was that, torture of, several, detainees that the CIA claims, led to the courier that led to bin Laden, did not pan out. It was not true. So on one hand, you had the CIA that obviously wanted to get its narrative out there. And how better to get your narrative out than to use Hollywood to make a movie about how torture played a role in killing bin Laden, leading us to bin Laden, then his death, and get that out to a mass audience. Zero Dark Thirty made in a worldwide box office over $130 million. So, it was so, intense in terms of what was taking place behind the scenes that, Dianne Feinstein, who was the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, when she learned that the CIA was, providing details and had worked with Bigelow and Bull at the same time her committee was writing this report and giving them this narrative about bin Laden, she took the unprecedented step of writing to the president of Sony Pictures and basically saying that they had an obligation to correct the record on what this film portrayed. So, that's the context in all of this. And you make a very, you know, good and important point about torture. This week, we are seeing the release of a book called Rebuttal. This is a book that contains essays from former top CIA officials in which they rebut the Senate Intelligence Committee's report on the CIA's torture program. And so this has been going on, obviously. You know, this story is not going away. This issue of torture, this debate about torture, who controls the narrative, you know, continues. And these documents that, you know, I obtained through this FOIA, Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, is another part of that, you know, that narrative, another wrinkle to the story. And, so it's, you know, it plays a very, very important part.
You know what's interesting too? They did a movie that was just exactly the same movie. I'm pretty sure with the same torture narrative. I'm not sure what the differences were. But for the Learning Channel or the Discovery Channel or one of those. And it has the heroic red-haired CIA lady and everything. It's the exact same movie pretty much. One I'm talking about? Have you sued for the documents on that script too?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually, you know, requested a number of different documents related to, you know, the work that the CIA has done, or you know, their roles with, you know, with Hollywood. And I think that, look, you know, I'm not breaking new ground here. You know, the CIA's role with Hollywood, their work with Hollywood goes back decades. There's been books written about it. But it's always interesting to see, you know, the evolution of that, if anything has changed. I mean, you know, like I said, certainly these documents are, you know, are fascinating for many, many different reasons, as well as the fact that it led to the creation of this, you know, new ethics policy, that the CIA put out. But I'm still waiting on everything else. You know, Scott, that, you know, documents, it takes a long time to get them. I'm a very patient man, and hopefully that will eventually come through.
Yeah. Hey, it's a virtue. It certainly works out for you and your reporting. In fact,
thank you.
There's been, you know, I don't know, not to change the subject, but there's been at least a handful of just profiles of you and the journalism that you're doing because of how far out in front of everybody else you are on so much of this stuff. So, I mean, that really speaks to the value of the work you're doing. So, you know,
I don't have to tell you.
They already are all telling you. All right. So,
thanks.
Yeah. Now, so the thing about, well, all these gifts that they accepted, it sort of, you know, is beside the point. The real point is how much the CIA influenced the way that they wrote the movie and produced it and made them look and all that. I mean, that's the real meat of it. But then again, as you say, looks like they're breaking the law. You know, going both ways here, really, coming and going. And of course, then there's complete, you know, impunity and a complete lack of accountability. The IG, you said, recommended it to the Justice Department and they said, nah.
Yeah. And I think that that is very important to note in the context of how the Obama administration has aggressively pursued the leak of classified information, the disclosure of classified information, how the administration has aggressively prosecuted individuals for disclosing this information. But, you know, I think these documents are another more evidence to show that not all leaks are equal, Scott. You know, this was Leon Panetta. There was a disclosure of classified info.
Yep.
It's interesting also because he, as director of the CIA, he has this sort of instant declassification authority. He could say something will be instantly, you know, declassified. So, the fact
it is kind of interesting that they investigated that at all. I mean, after all, there's official leaks in the New York Times and Washington Post every day, that kind of thing. What was different about him leaking this than those kind of situations?
You know, the issue about this was the fact that, I left that out, was that, Mark Bohl, what happened was that after bin Laden was killed, maybe about 6 weeks later, less than a month later, the CIA held an award ceremony, what they call the bin Laden award ceremony. It was held at CIA headquarters in a tent, outside of headquarters, attended by about 1,300 people, including the Navy SEALs. Mark Bohl was invited to this. He secured an invitation to this classified award ceremony. He does not hold the security clearance. His presence there concerned a number of people who were present, who were, at this award ceremony. And they found that, on one hand, Leon Panetta, did he extend an invitation to Mark Bohl? Did he know he was there? There was conflicting information about that. But there was a, when Leon Panetta was giving a speech, his speech contained classified information. He identified the Navy SEALs, by name, the ground commander by name, information that would otherwise be classified. They found that his speech itself was classified as secret when it should have been top secret. So there were, there was a complete breakdown safeguarding, information here. And so they decided like, oh, wow, we need to investigate. One, how did Mark Bohl get here? How did he get an invitation? Mm. Who authorized it? What was really fascinating is that when they was confronted with this, when Leon Panetta was confronted with, did you know that Mark Bohl would be here? He said, no. In fact, I wouldn't be able to identify Mark Bohl anyway because I've never met him. Well, guess what? The Inspector General found that Leon Panetta's story didn't check out because a year earlier, he did meet Mark Bohl. Hmm. He also met Catherine Bigelow. He sat with them at a table at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And included with these documents is the seating chart of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, showing that Leon Panetta sat with Bohl and Bigelow. And it was at this Correspondents' Dinner that he said to them, if you ever need anything, you need any help from the agency with your, with your movies, with this Bin Laden movie, give us a call. And so that's sort of why they, part of the reason why they kind of, continue to push this. I did note that the oddity of it is that, as director of the CIA, he's considered what one would call an original classification authority. So he could also just kind of instantly declassify. Mm-hmm. The information that he revealed, should have been top secret contained, Defense Department information, particularly or specifically some NSA information. So, and Mark Bohl, was there to hear it all.
Hmm. Yeah, it's still kind of puzzling because, usually there's only two kinds of leaks. The kind that the official government, somebody on the level of Panetta or, the White House, wants in the media, which is perfectly fine, or, someone heroically trying to tell the truth about government crimes to the American people, and then they go to prison, and they're treated, they're charged with espionage and this kind of thing. And now, obviously, this didn't go that far, but it seems like, man, there must have been a political vendetta somewhere. Somebody had a vendetta, but maybe between the National Intelligence Director and Panetta or something, for this to go that far against Panetta, or... Because I'm trying to think like the counterfactual. They just invited Bob Woodward to that thing to write it up for the Washington Post, or Walter Pincus or David Ignatius or something. That would have been just perfectly fine, right? Or is it that there were so many people there watching?
Actually, that's an interesting point. And one of the issues that came up is that journalists obviously don't get the same sort of access that, these Hollywood filmmakers get. They certainly get access, Scott. We know that. We know that Walter Pincus, for example, gets plenty of leaks and access to, to the CIA. However, this was something that was just so unique and extraordinary because Mark Bohl, the screenwriter, was invited by the top officials. He was meeting with top officials. He, these officials said that they didn't consider him to be a journalist. They considered him to be, a Hollywood screenwriter. So he was, he was treated differently. It's very clear that, as I noted, that, not all leaks, not all disclosures are treated the same. And this was still a disclosure of classified information, just in the presence of someone who was not clear to receive it. And there was no accountability for that. Whereas, you know, the disclosure of a name, right, the name of an officer to someone at the New York Times, mm-hmm. By John Kiriakou, and that name was never printed, you know, resulted in John Kiriakou, former CIA officer, being, sent to prison for 2 years. And they even pursued him on espionage charges. And the same with David Petraeus, the former former head of the CIA, although he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor. So, you know, it just comes down to the fact that they chalk this up as a mistake, an oversight, disorganization, and that was it.
All right. Well, listen, I'm sorry I've kept you over time, and I know you got to go, but thanks so much for your time and great reporting here, Jason, as always.
Thanks, Scott. Always appreciate it and always great to speak with you.
All right, y'all. That's Jason Leopold. He's at news.vice.com. Tequila, Painted Pearls, and Prada, how the CIA helped produce Zero Dark 30. We'll be right back in a sec. Hey, all, Scott here. On average, how much do you think these interviews are worth to you? Of course, I've never charged for my archives in a dozen years of doing this, and I'm not about to start. But at patreon.com/ScottWhortonShow, you can name your own price to help support and make sure there's still new interviews to give away. So what do you think? 2 bits? A buck and a half? There are usually about 80 interviews per month, I guess, so take that into account. You can also cap the amount you'd be willing to spend in case things get out of hand around here. That's patreon.com/ScottWhortonShow. And thanks, y'all. Hey, all, Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com. Hey, y'all, guess what? You can now order transcripts of any interview I've done for the incredibly reasonable price of $2.50 each. Listen, finding a good transcriptionist is near impossible, but I've got one now. Just go to scotthorton.org/transcripts, enter the name and date of the interview you want written up, click the PayPal button, and I'll have it in your email in 72 hours max. You don't need a PayPal account to do this. Man, I'm really going to have to learn how to talk more good. That's scotthorton.org/transcripts.